So we're starting on Mem Tet Amud Aleph today. As I mentioned before, class, I'm going to teach two dapim today because tomorrow I won't be able to teach. So two dapim in one. Interesting stories, interesting gemaras. Okay, we're going to start off with maybe a little bit more boring Mishnah, but just in the same line of you say something, and what did you mean by what you said? So similar to things we've learned before. Again, it's all going to be a question of what did you intend when you made the neder? What was your intention, and what objects were you covering in your neder? Hanoder min ha-mevushal. Let's say you say, I won't get benefit from anything cooked. This is very common, by the way. We use the word cook as a, right? To when you say cook, what do you mean?
Anything.
Right?
Prepare, you don't, anything not raw.
Right. Food. Anything you make, you do something with. You roast it, you broil it, you grill it. You generally call that cooking. But cooking often means to just, what does it mean? To boil in water, okay? That's what it really is. To cook something is to boil in water as opposed to bake it. Right? You can bake chicken, right? You don't just bake cakes. It's all a matter of what the terminology means. So if you say, I'm not going to eat anything cooked, according to the Mishnah, mutar bitzli u'bishaluk. Okay, you're allowed to have something roasted because you obviously didn't mean roasted when you said cooked. And you're also allowed bishaluk. Shaluk, there's three different opinions. One is it's something you cook for a very, very, very long time. One is you undercook it. Okay, it's not actually cooked properly. And the third option is, I forgot what the third option that they said was. It's like a different type of process. It's not boiling. Oh, right. It's with spices. It's without spices, whereas cooking is with spices. Okay, in water, but with spices, and the other is without spices. Okay. Amar konam tavshil she'eni to'em. What if you say, I won't eat a tavshil, a cooked item? So now what did you mean when you said cooked? So asur b'maaseh k'derarach. You can't eat something that's soft, okay, which really means more like liquidy, okay, like a more liquidy substance. Umutar ba'aveh. But it's mutar to eat something that's very thick. Umutar bebeitza tormuta ubedlat haremutza. Okay, these are two items. We're going to see later what this beitza tormuta is. Dlat haremutza is a cook also. It's like a cooked pumpkin. These things, we're going to see what the story with these things is later. Beitza tormuta, again, there's going to be different options. We'll see in the Gemara when we get there. The point is that the criteria for a maaseh kedera is something that you generally would eat with bread, okay, and it gets cooked a certain amount, okay, without getting overly cooked, which is going to be part of this beitza tormuta, which is cooked, you'll see, 1,000 times in hot water and then 1,000 times in cold water, okay? I don't know exactly what that means. I assume it's a bit of an exaggeration, but we'll see what that is. And the point is that that's not included in maaseh kedera. It's generally something you would eat with bread, so something very thick. You wouldn't eat with bread, like they call it like a thick porridge or something. You wouldn't eat that together at the same time as bread, but something liquidy you would eat with bread. You know, you might dip your bread in it, you might eat it together with bread. Okay. Hanoder mi maaseh kedera. Okay, so that was if you said tavshil. Sorry, that was if you say tavshil, then you can't eat something cooked that's soft, but you can something that's thick. What if you say maaseh kedera? So ein asur ela mi maaseh retachta. If you say maaseh kedera, it must be something that was boiled for a while. Okay, that's generally what they say. Or something that was boiled and that's how it was cooked. It was cooked by being boiled up. Amar konam hayored l'kedera she'eni to'em. But if you say, I won't be eating from a kedera, what's a kedera? Like a pot. So then asur b'kolam mitbashli b'kedera. Then anything that you might have cooked in a pot, that's different from maaseh kedera. A maaseh kedera means a certain type of food. Okay, clearly what we're talking about here is all, you know, based on what they were doing then and how they used this terminology, which would obviously change nowadays. Okay, like when I asked cooked, almost everyone said cooked would include all sorts of things. So now we're going to see that even then there was a machloket. So Gemara starts out by bringing a braita. Tanya Rabbi Yoshaya Oser. When you say hanoder min ha-mevushal, it's aser b'tzaliyu b'shaluk, according to him. Even though I can't prove it, zecher ladavar. There is a remez in the pasuk. What's that? Shenemar. Okay, here's a pasuk from Divrei HaYamim when it talks about them doing a korban pesach. It said, "V'yivashlu ha-pesach ba'esh kamishpat." They cooked the Pesach. What do we all know about the Pesach? The Pesach is roasted. And it says they cooked it. Why I say they cooked it? Because they cooked it means it was roasted. Okay? Cooking meat could also apply to roasted. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshaya says that it includes it. So now they say, okay, now we want to understand what's this machlokes between Rabbi Yoshaya and the Tanakhama. Lema bahakami palge. To Rabbi Yoshaya savar halachachar lashon Torah. V'tana dilan savar benedarim halachachar lashon bnei adam. Maybe the root of their machloket is, do we follow what it says in the Torah? Here it would obviously mean the Tanakh, not the Torah, because the Torah obviously talks about the Korban Pesach as Tzali. And here it says, right, the... here, pass this down. You can use this. And our Tana talks about halachachar lashon bnei adam, as we follow what people say, or do we follow what the Torah says? And they say, no. Look, dekulei amar b'nedarim halachachar lashon bnei adam. Everybody agrees with that. We've discussed this before, right? It always follows. Remember, we had this before where we brought psukim to quote it, but then they said, obviously, we're not really learning from those psukim. So they say, b'nedarim halachachar lashon bnei adam, mar ki atrei umar ki atrei. Everybody like their place, okay? Like an atar b'niyah, right? A place. Atar means place, where you come from. So Mar, right, he went like his place, and he went like his place. In other words, in different places, they call things different by different names. Ma'atra detana dilan litzali kare litzali. Ula muvushal kare le muvushal. Right, that's the Tana of our Mishnah. But ba'atra derabi Yoshaya afilu tzali kare muvushal. Even something roasted would be called cooked. So then I say, wait, but hakra nasivla. But what do you mean? He brought a pasuk. So how could you say that he's going by Lashon B'nai Adam if he quotes a pasuk? So the obvious answer, asmachta ba'alma. He was just bringing a pasuk to support his claim, but he wasn't using the pasuk as the proof.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
It's just this whole sugya is very strange. I mean, I can't imagine making a neder saying, I'm not going to eat what's cooked in a pot from you. Like, it's a very specific kind of neder.
Well, first of all, you're saying it not to someone else in these cases, at least from the Lashon. You're saying to yourself, you're saying, I will not eat cooked items.
Uh-huh. Which people do today. Like, there's a whole raw movement.
Yeah.
It's not even...
Right. Yeah. You could see for diet purposes, you know. Okay. I'm not going to eat anything cooked.
That's New Year's resolutions. I swear.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not someone else's stuff. You're right. If it was someone else's, it would be strange.
Yeah.
Unless you just don't like someone's cooking and you say, I'm not going to eat anything that person cooks because they're terrible cooks. You could see that. Okay. Konam tafshil. So now we're going to the line of Konam tafshil she'eni to'em. Asur b'masek de'ra rach and yaveh. V'ha mitbashil. Ha mitafshil nadar. So now we say, but what do you mean? You were no derma tafshil, so why wouldn't it include those other things? The aver, right? It's also a tafshil. It's also something cooked. So I'm rabbi, hi Tana, kol midi dimit achel berifta tafshil karele. Okay, this Tana held that anything that can be eaten with bread, that's called a tafshil, and anything you don't eat with bread is not called a tafshil. Okay. Baha Tanya, and here's going to be a brita to support it. Right, Bahatanya often means Vahare, it doesn't it say in a Braita, but and it's a question. But oftentimes not oftentimes, but sometimes it comes also as a support. Here's a support. Hanoder mina tafshil, asur bekomine tafshil, vasur betzaliu beshaluk ubimevushal. Vasur behitriot rakot, shacholin ochlim behem pitan. Okay, so now it includes here, if you're noder mina tafshil, it says here, so first of all, it says you're asur from tafshil and salib and shaluk, but we're not going to relate to that. The important part for us is that you're asur in these hitriot rakot. The hitriot, I think, are dilat, right?
Squash.
They're the...
Yeah, squash.
Right, squash. These soft squash that the cholin ochlim behem pitan, that the cholim use to eat their pita with. So now what do you see? That they would, not their pita, their bread. They would eat their bread with it. So now what do you see? That things that people eat bread with are considered a tafshil. So there's your proof. Okay, this line is going to open up into a whole slew of agadatot stories and all that. Okay, just because we got to this line, okay, this is going to be the lead-in. So what do you see? That sick people eat soft gourds to basically help them feel better, okay? Or soft squash, right? Not gourds, squash. So the Gemara says, Ini, do they really eat soft squash? Vaha, Rabbi Yirmiyah Chalash. Here's a story. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sick. Al gabehu asya la'asyuha. A doctor came to heal him. Okay, that's where Asaha, right? From first of all, there was Asa, who didn't go to the Rofim, and he was the king who didn't go to the Rofim. There's like a connection in the words. Asa means to heal, right? So a doctor comes to heal him. Chazakara, he sees a gourd, right? A gourd and squash, I think here, they mean the same thing. He sees a squash, the machat bebete, that was sitting in his house. Shav kevenafak. The doctor immediately leaves the house. He gets up and he goes. Amar malach mota itle l'dein bebete va'ane yel la'asa. He says, the malach hamavet's in his house, and I'm going to go in and try to cure him. Okay, meaning that the fact that this guy was eating squash was like a clear sign that he was going to die. Okay, now you wonder, was he scared the malach hamavet was going to get to him too? Like, I don't think that was really his concern, because the whole issue is clear from here. We're going to see also the Gemara. It's clear there was the squash that was the culprit, and obviously he wasn't going to eat it. You know, on the other hand, maybe he just felt, it's clear malach hamavet's in the room and I want to get myself out of here. Or did he mean, I'm not going to waste my time on this guy because this guy's dead, going to die, and it's so clear to me, and therefore I'm going to go try to help heal somebody else. So it's, I'm not going to waste my time. Anyway, it's strange that he just gets up and leaves, right, and leaves the guy by himself. So, so lokashya, don't worry. Okay, so now what's the issue? We just said that they eat the squash because it's good for them, right? And here, the squash seems to be bad for him. So lokashya, habrachiche habishune. If you notice in our source, we talked about the squash, soft squash. And the one in his house must have been hard squash. Rava bar'ula amar habakara gufe v'habagavya dekra. Here's a different explanation. One was eating the insides of the squash, and the other was eating the outsides of the squash. The insides are good, but the outsides are bad. How do we know this? Da'amar of Yehuda, luliva dekra basilka, luliva dekitna bekutcha. Okay, Rav Yehuda would say that what's good is to eat the lev, right, luliva, from the lashon of lev, the insides of the kara mixed with silka, which is like either a squash, or I mean a leek, it says. Okay, it's also called it, oh no, but maybe tradin, right. I was thinking tradin is spinach, but it's not, right. Tradin here are leeks usually, or something like that. And luliva de kitna of the flax is eaten with kutach, was very good. What's kutach? That's my favorite food. It's the kutach habavli. It was what they would eat in Bavel. It's made of sour milk, bread crusts, moldy bread maybe, and salt. It's got all sorts of halachic implications because it's halavi, because it has the milk. So it comes up in basar halav sugyos. It has salt, like things that are salted. It comes up in sugyot with that. It's got like all, and it has bread, so it's chametz. So it's brought up. Anyway.
But the mold is interesting because that antedates penicillin.
Right. It is interesting. Right. You can think about it that way. Yafe. So now, v'davar ze asur la'omro b'fnei ama aretz. But this is not to be told to the Amei Aretz. Don't tell them about these cures. Now, this is a very strange line. Why is it that we wouldn't tell them about these cures? So there's all different reasons given. Some people say that we're worried they're going to take, the Ran says, we're worried, Kadesh shelo ya'aku ha'pishtan lekach. We don't want them picking the pishtan to get to the seeds that they're going to use, because then I guess they'll be picking it before it's time, and then we won't have the pishtan. It's like, we'll be wasteful. It's a little strange. Why only the Amei Aretz? It's a little difficult. Tosfot has a different reason. He says, Tosfot in the Rosh, I'm
it
just trying to find it.
You can't say in the presence of a bull.
Right. It's yeah, in Amma Aretz. Okay. So now what do they say? This has a very different one. So the Rosh and the Tosfot, according to the interpretation, Sheyal igu al dvarenu, shera dvarim elo afilu hanashin yodotam. They're going to mock us that the rabbis are telling us these things, because it's Davar Yadua, everybody knows this. So why are the rabbis spending their time talking about these things? Which is actually interesting, because we're going to have a whole bunch of things now about, you know, health things. And we've discussed before that the rabbis saw themselves as also in charge of speaking to people about all sorts of issues, including health. So it's a bit of a strange interpretation, but clearly they were struggling with how to explain this.
Whole list in the medicinal
yeah, we oh, saw yeah. it a whole bunch of
and
times.
It was in weird
there was some in Brachot, I think, and then
yeah,
later on
more
also.
Yeah,
we definitely saw it more recently, but I think it also came up in Brachot and yeah, pages. I think in Brachot there were pages and pages, if I remember correctly.
Anymore, right? And then at the end it was like, we don't.
You're right. It was Yevamot. It was toward the beginning of Yevamot.
Yeah.
So it's weird that Tosfot says it here.
Right. Right. So it could be this particular issue was so obvious, but maybe other ones were less obvious and those needed an explanation. Yeah, but no, for sure, we've seen in a number of places about all sorts of health things. Okay. Rav Amar Man Cholin Rabbanan. Right, so then Rav explains a different explanation, which is when we said that the soft food, the soft squash is good for cholim, he didn't mean actual sick people. Sick people, it's not good for them. But he meant chachamim, because chachamim get weakened. We've seen this before. Okay. The assumption was that the chachamim were weakened because they sat and learned Torah all day and didn't maybe do physical activity. And therefore, they are called sick, and for them it's good, but they're not really sick. And now he says, Rava l'tame, da'ama Rava, kima matzlinan al k'tzire v'al mariye. Okay? Who, according to who do we pray for the k'tzire and the mariye? Okay? The k'tzire are the sick people, and the mariye are the chachamim that get sick. So kiman, you know, that are considered weak. So we pray for their health because they're considered weak. Kiman, who does this go according to? Ki Rabbi Yossi. Mida Amar Katsire Mirie Shmamina Katsire Katsire Mamash Mirie Rabbanan. In other words, then they say it must be the Katsire is the Katsire Mamash and the Mirie Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yossi, refresh my memory because I don't have that in front of me, but the thing about Rabbi Yossi, his opinion, oh, right. So if you look in the Ran, he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Adam Nidom Bechol Yom, the Ilul Rabbanan. There was this whole machloket, now I remember what it was. Every day, in other words, according to this, we pray every day for the sick people and for the rabbis. Okay? And that's according to Rabbi Yossi's opinion. According to some opinions, the ones who disagree with Rabbi Yossi, I think it's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the Gzar Din comes on Rosh Hashanah for the whole year. So like, there's no point to pray every day for people. And then it's like a whole debate. So then according to them, why do we pray? You know, like it's a very strange machloket. But that's the basic machloket. In other words, are we judged every day or are we judged once a year? So according to Rabbi Yossi, we have to pray for these people every day because we're judged every single day. And we actually don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but yet we still do pray every day. You know, and then there's a discussion about how you work in their opinion with our perception of how we daven every day. And obviously ask for things every day. Umutar ba'aveh. Okay, so now we talked about that you can eat this aveh thing. Now, if you thought that the Amei Aretz shouldn't hear about the flax seeds and that, just wait till you get to this stuff. Okay. Matnitin delo kebavlai. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the Bavlim. Da'ama Rabbi Zera. Okay, if you remember this, there was Rabbi Zera. He went to Eretz Yisrael, and there were all these sugyot about negativity about the Bavlim. Okay, here's one of them. Bavlai tipshai. Okay, the Bavlim are tipshim. Okay, they're idiots. They eat carbohydrates with carbohydrates, okay? They eat their daisava, you know, with the bread, okay? So therefore, our Mishnah obviously doesn't hold by them because our Mishnah said that the aveh isn't eaten with the bread. Amar Rav Chisda, Timasha lahon lahalei nachtanei dehutzal. If I could ask the nugdim in hutzal, hadin daisa hecha ma'ale lemichla dechite, hecha ma'ale lemichla, how should you eat the daisa? Should you eat this porridge made of wheat with bread made of wheat, or desare belachma desare, or should it be barley daisa with barley bread? Odilma dechite bedesare, udesare bechite, or should you do one with the other? Right? Okay. Rava achle bechasise. Okay, Rava would eat it with. He would eat his bread with chasise, which is, it was like roasted kernels of grains. Okay, and then he would peel them or something, and he would eat that. Rava bar Rav Huna, eshkachel Rav Huna, deka'achal daisa be'etzba'ate. Okay, he saw, Rava bar Rav Huna saw Rav Huna eating porridge with his finger. Okay, here you have, right, eating with his fingers. Amar le, amai ka'achal mar b'yade. Amar le, why are you eating with your hands? Amar le, hachi amarav. Daisa be'etzba'ate basim. It's sweeter if you eat it with your fingers. V'chol dekem betaratin, v'chol dekem betlat. And all the more so if you use two fingers, and all the more so if you use three fingers. Okay, some people understand the question is, why are you eating with your finger and not with a utensil? Some people understand the question, why are you eating with a finger and not with your hand? And that's why he goes into etzba'ot. Okay, it's like, how many etzba'ot? But it's a little difficult, because then you would think one etzba would be better, according to this. And it's not, right? He's saying, all the more so two, all the more so three fingers. Amar le Rav l'chia b'rei. V'chein amar le. Okay, so now, why would I say this? Because, again, why are they having discussions about these kind of things, right? It seems totally not relevant. Amar le Rav Lechia Bere. Rav said to Chia's son. V'chein amar le Rav Huna le Rav Bere. Okay, Rav Huna also said this to his son. Mizamnin lach lemecha dai sa'ad parsa. Lemecha b'sur de Torah ad talta parsin. Okay, there's a few different explanations given here, but I'll explain maybe one or two. If they invite you to eat daisa, you should walk a parsa. Okay, I forget exactly how many that is, maybe a third of a mile or something. I forget the exact distance, but you should walk a certain distance. If they invite you to eat a bistro de Torah, you should walk three parsot. Okay, it's better food. Some people say dafka the opposite, that you shouldn't even walk a parsa. And for bistro de Torah, you shouldn't walk, right, what is it that you... Or maybe, like, you should even the more so avoid it. I'm not sure how they read the text exactly, but some people explain it itself in the opposite, that the bistro de Torah is actually worse. It's, like, totally unhealthy for you, right? Again, you see here all sorts of health things, right? Is meat good for you? Is meat not good for you? Is, you know,
I think it's like a restaurant
carbohydrates?
Review.
It's a what?
It's like a restaurant review.
Right, exactly. Should you eat carbs? Should you eat carbs with carbs? Should you eat them with protein? Okay. Amar le Rav Lechia Bere, v'chein amar le Rav Huna le Rav Bere, Kol midam lo tiflot kamei rabach. You shouldn't ever spit something out. If you eat something bad or something that's not good, you shouldn't spit it out in front of your rabbi. Levar min kara v'daisa. Shehem domin l'ptilta shel you pronounce it avar, right? Ptilta shel avar. Mapilu kamish for malka plot. Okay, generally they say it's not the kara itself, the gourd or the daisa, but it's if you have spit left in your mouth from it, and it's dangerous for you, okay? It's like the ptil of Havar. What's that? The lead, like a wick with lead. If you remember in Srefa, that's how they would burn people in the one of the four mitot beitim, was pouring hot lead down someone's throat. So it's like putting a wick of lead down someone's throat. It could really burn them. And therefore, even in front of your rabbi, and then they say, even in front of Shvor Malka, the support person, you're allowed to spit. We saw the Shvor Malka before, if you remember, not so long ago. This character, it was a particular person. You're allowed to spit even in front of them, okay? Otherwise, it's not respectful, but if it's a matter of, you know, life and death, then of course you can. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Chad achil, we're back now to eating with your fingers. Chad achil daisa be'etzba'ate, v'chad achil behutza. Okay, hutza was like a twig, which even in the Karman they explained, it's really, it means like he was using a fork, okay? It's like a, you know, a primitive fork. Okay, so one was eating with his finger, one was eating with a fork. Okay, you can imagine this discussion going on in your house. Amarle, right? Why are you eating with your fingers? Okay, so if your kids want an excuse, they can read this Gemara. Amarle da'acha behutza le'da'acha be'etzba'ate. The one who was eating with a fork said to the one eating with his fingers, Ab mataya tamachileni to'atcha. It's your fingernails are filthy, and you're getting all the dirt into your fingers, and you're touching the food with it. Now I'm going to get sick from it. You're giving me your spit because you're taking your fork and you're putting it back in, and your fork is full of spit and you never wash it off. Whereas your finger at least gets cleaned off. You know, it's your finger. You'd like to keep your finger clean. So, anyway, that's the discussion between eating with a fork or eating with your fingers. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aita Lekamayhu, Blue Spain. Okay, this type of fig dish came before them. Rabbi Yehuda achil, Rabbi Shimon lo achil. Okay, before we were talking about Rabbi Yehuda in terms of eating with a fork or eating with your fingers. Now we're going to bring a few other stories about Rabbi Yehuda and food. So, he ate this fig dish, and Rabbi Shimon didn't eat it. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda, my time alo achil mar. Amar le Rabbi Shimon, elu ein yotzimi b'nei me'ayim kol ikar. They sit in your, right, they constipate you. They just sit in your body, and they don't get digested properly. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda, kol shekein shenismoch aleihem lemachar. It's all the better. Then they'll still be in my body tomorrow. I won't have to worry about eating tomorrow. Rabbi, you love this? Rabbi Yehuda habayatev kameh to Rabbi Tarfon. Amar le Rabbi Tarfon, hayom panecha tzihubi. Okay, he said, today your face, okay, now tzihubin doesn't really mean yellow. It sounds pretty sickly, right? But it actually means your face is ruddy, like it's reddish and it looks good and you look great. Okay, so amar le, emesh. Okay, so he basically says from the food I ate. Okay, again, we're getting to the value of certain foods. So how do they translate tradin here as leeks?
Yeah, beets.
Beets, okay. So I think there's a few different interpretations of that word as far as I remember. Okay. But anyway, okay. We'll call it beets. I ate them, and if I had eaten them with salt, it would have been even better. Now we're going to have a whole bunch of things about people looking at Rabbi Yehuda's complexion and coming to bizarre conclusions from the fact that he had such a good complexion. They thought all sorts of things about Amra hahi matronita l'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, matronita is a Roman, right, an important woman. We see her in a bunch of cases that they come to the rabbis and they always have these questions. So usually these testy questions. So she says, Morev Rabbi. She assumed he was drunk. She says, you could be a teacher and be drunk? Like, how could that be? Can't you? Aren't you going to make mistakes if you do that? Amale, hemnuta biyada, dahi itita. I swear in your name, basically. Ita imne ela kiddusha v'avdalta v'arba kaseh t'pischa. The only thing I drink is kiddush, havdalah, and 4 cups of wine on Pesach. And after I drink those 4 cups of wine on Pesach, b'chograni tzidei min Pesach ad atzeret. I have to put a bandage over my forehead because I have such a headache and a hangover from it. From Pesach until Atzeret, Shavuot. Ella, that's not what's making my face ready. Chachmat adam te'ir panav. It's my chachmah. That's what makes my face look like this. Amar le'ahu tztuki l'Rabbi Yehuda. Now another person's going to bother him about his face. Paneh atztuki. Paneh adomim ikim alavei ribit ikim egalei chazirin. Okay? You must be... You know, doing something illegal, because you must be, right? You're either Milav Eberi Beat or you're being Megadel Chazirin, because those are the people who, like, have a good life. And you look like you have the good life. Amarle, Bihudai Travayu Asiran. No, and, you know, for me, those are both forbidden. Ela Esrim Va'arba'a. I want you to remember this 24 number. This 24 number is going to appear many times over the next daf. There's 24 beta kisei ilach min beta ad be midrasha. Okay, from my house to the beit midrash. B'chol sha'av sha'ani nechlas achol achav echad. I go and use every single one of them, meaning I clean out my bowels very well, and that's why I look good. Rabbi Yehuda kad azal le beit midrasha, shakil gufa al katfei. He would take a cod. He would take a cod over his shoulders. Amar gdola malacha shemechabedet et ba'aleha. And he would say, what would he do? He would bring this cod and then he'd sit on it in the Beit Midrash. He'd say, how great is the work that ends up causing respect to the people who do the work. In other words, I schlepped this cod to the Beit Midrash and now I have a place in which to sit and I look mechubad. Rabbi Shimon shakil tzana al katfei. He would take a basket on his shoulders and would say the same thing. Amar gdola malacha shemechabedet et ba'aleha. Okay. What you're seeing here is that he wasn't very wealthy, this Rabbi Yehuda. So even though he had this good complexion and his health was good, maybe it's trying to tell you also, if you're careful about what you eat, it doesn't matter if you're not wealthy, you can still have, you know, you can still be healthy and look good. Debitu de Rabbi Yehuda nafat, nakatit amra. She went out to get wool. Avda glima dehutve. She made herself a cloak. Kadnafik l'shuka mechasya be. Okay, when she would go out in the shuk, she would cover herself with it. Kadnafik Rabbi Yehuda litzluya hava mechasya umatzle. Kadmichse be hava mevarech baruch sha'atani me'il. Okay, he would make a bracha. You could see how poor he was, right? He'd make a bracha and having a me'il. Like, that for him was a huge thing. And he was sharing it with his wife, right? She would take it when they go into the shuk, and he would use it when he would daven.
Nobody ever discussed the fact that he's wearing a woman's clothing.
Yeah, fair. Nothing about clay, right. Clay gever, clay shah. It doesn't talk about that. But obviously this was a cloak also could just be, right. It was just like a shawl or something. That she would cover herself with it, he would cover himself with it. Okay. Zimnechada gazara Rav Shimon ben Gamliel ta'anita. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel made a fast. Rabbi Yehuda lo ata lebe ta'anita. They were all praying together and Rabbi Yehuda didn't show up. Amrin le lo ile kisuye. They said he must not be coming because he has nothing to cover himself up with. Shadro le glima v'lo kabil. They sent him a glima and they said, okay, come to the Beit Midrash. He wouldn't accept it. Dalei tzifta v'amar le l'shlucha chazei ma'ika. He picked up the machatzelet that he was sitting on and he said to his shaliach, go see what's underneath the machatzelet. And it turned out that underneath it was tons of coins of gold and he found like a huge amount of money. Okay, but still he didn't want to benefit from this world. Okay, now we're going to see. Now we're moving from here into the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. This is a story everybody knows about Rabbi Akiva and his wife and Kalba Savua, the father-in-law who didn't want him to marry the daughter. Okay, we saw this in Ketubot, part of it, a different version. Again, if we had time, we compare the versions and see. We don't really have time to do this. But anyway, we're going to get into this story now. And it's going to have to do with Nidarim. Okay, that's why we're bringing it up here. I'm trying to remember if it's connected in any other way, but I think just here it's coming up because of the Nidarim. There's obviously going to be some connection to the previous. I think it's a little connected to the previous story, although I don't remember.
It's of poverty and the sacrifice.
Ah, right. Okay, fine. So fine. So if you take it there, that's good. So here we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda and his poverty, and then we're going to be talking about Rabbi Akiva and his poverty, and you're going to see, right, in the end here, at the end of our story, Rabbi Yehuda gets rewarded because all this money appears. And also, Rabbi Akiva is going to get rewarded with money in the end of his day. If you remember, not even in the end of his day, if you remember the famous story, one of the stories we started with when we started the daf in Brachot, about Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Gamliel, and then Rabbi Gamliel gets kicked out of the Nisiyut and of the Rosh Yeshiva, and then they try to bring someone in, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't have, what's his problem? He doesn't have zchut avot, right? But they don't say he doesn't have wealth, because some of the other guys didn't have wealth. So eventually he becomes wealthy. Rabbi Akiva, but obviously it also is going to connect because of the neder. Okay? Rabbi Akiva itkadish le barte de kalba savua. Okay? He gets married to the daughter of kalba savua. Shama kalba savua, adra hana'a mikol nechse. Okay? He was noder hana'a. He says, I'm disowning you. You can't get any hana'a from any of my nechasim. Az lavi nasiba le besitva. She gets married to him in the winter. Habuganu Beit Tivna. They would sleep on straw. Hava kamenaket leTivna mimazish. He would pull out straw from the hairs of his wife. Amarla I hava leRamina lech Yerushalayim didava. And as if I had, I would get you Yerushalayim shel zahav. What does that mean? Do you remember from Shabbat, right? What the things the women could go out with their jewelry. So it was this thing they would wear in their hair like a tiara. Yerushalayim shel zahav it was called. So basically, they're living a very poor life. All they have is tevin. Ata Eliyahu, idamele lahon ka'anasha. He appears as a person, Eliyahu Anavi. The kakari ababi comes knocking at the door. There's a very strange ending to the story you'll see in a minute, this little story here. Amar lehu havali porta detivna tialadit ititai veleitle midayim laguna. Can you give me a little tevin, a little straw? Because my wife gave birth and we don't have anything at all. We don't even have tevin. So what's strange about the story is the story ends there, okay? The story ends here, we'll see. Amar Rabbi Akiva, le'intite, he says to his wife, Chaze gavada filu tivna lo itle. Okay? Look, there's people even worse than us who don't even have straw. Okay? What's strange, he doesn't give the guy any straw. Okay? Or maybe he does and we just don't hear it in the story. And here it's a little strange because he's making his wife feel better by saying, look, we're better off than other people, which is, you often teach people... Right. It's all the more strange, right? Because Eliyahu came for that reason, to basically show them that there's people worse off than you, which I guess, you know, is a way of making people feel better. So there's something about it that strikes us as a little odd.
Because his wife was not used to this kind of poverty, and she didn't have a whole lot of
Maybe it was to give his wife some perspective on where they were holding on the thing. Okay. Anyway. Amrale, zil havi be rav. She says to him, go learn Torah, okay? It's unclear where this comes out of. If it has to do with the story, it doesn't have to do with the story. In any case, she says, go learn some Torah. Azil Tartesh Sreshnim. He goes for 12 years. Kamei to Rabbi Elezer for Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, he goes to learn with Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Lemishlem Tartesh Sreshnim. Okay, to learn for the full 12 years. Read it like this. Lemishlem Tartesh Sreshnim, when the 12 years were up, Ka'ata the Beite, he comes to his house. Shama min achorei beite. He hears from behind his house de ka'amar lechav rasha ledebitu, that this rasha is speaking to his wife. Shapir ave lech avuch chada de lo damelech ve'od shavkach amanut chayot kulun shnein. He says to him, your father did well that he disowned you, because look at you. You went, number one, you went with a guy, de lo damelech, who's not anything like you. He comes from a totally different background, right? He's from a whole different background. He has nothing to do with you. And then he left you like an almanut chayut. What does that mean, right? You're like an almana, even though he's still alive. It's like the worst. Your husband's just not around. Amrale, itzai ledele lehave tarte snin shreshnin achorneyata. If he would listen to me, he would go another 12 years to learn. Amar, so what did he hear is this? Okay, this is a crazy story. He hears this. Yahavale reshuta, ihadar lachorai hadar. Yihad alach harai, and therefore hadar azel. Okay, so he's saying, Ho'il, she's giving me reshut, I'm going to go back, and then he goes back.
He doesn't say
okay?
Hello.
What?
He doesn't say hello to her.
Right, that's what's crazy. He doesn't even say hello to her. Like, he hears her saying this, and he just, according to this, right, the way it sounds like, he doesn't even say hello to her. It's unclear. Maybe he did. But anyway, he goes back. Azel havetarte sne. By the way, I read some notes about, like, some other sources. It seems that during the time he was making money also, he was working, and he was sending money back to her, and she was working, and they were, you know, obviously not rich, but they were, you know, just getting by. Okay?
You could also see in a wonderful way that they had such a close union that they didn't even need to speak, that she, he knew how
right.
much she supported him.
Right. Well, she clearly is, and you're going to see as the story goes on, she's clearly supporting him all the way, and he appreciates that, and he recognizes it, as we're going to see. Azal havetarte shrei shnei achronata. Okay, he goes for another 12 years. Ata be'esrim ba'arba'a alfin zuge talmidei. Okay, he comes back now. So here comes the 24 in many contexts. Okay, we had it before on the page. Before now. 24 years altogether he goes. Now he comes back with 24,000 students. Okay?
No, pairs
Nafik, right, pairs of students. Nafik kule amal ape. Okay? Everybody comes out to see him because they hear this big Talmid Chacham is coming with all these students. Va'achi kama lemefak la'ape. And she comes up also. Now, it's unclear. There's two ways of reading the story. Either she knows who it is or she doesn't know who it is. Amar leha hu Rashia. Okay, that same Rasha. Va'at lehecha amarale. Sorry, va'at lehecha. Where are you going? Like, you look like a shmata. You know, what are you walking out like that? You can't go out to meet this great rabbi with the way you're dressed. Amarale yodet sadik nefesh behemto. So now, either she knows it's her husband, and she says, my husband knows me and could care less how I dress, okay? Or it means, you know, the rabbi will see through my clothing, okay, which is going to be relevant to the future stories we're going to see. Okay, that's not about the way you look and all that. Okay, she goes now to be seen by him. The rabbis push her away. Amar lahon. So now, again, it's unclear. Do they know that she's the wife and they're pushing her away because she looks disgusting and, you know, get out of here? Or maybe they don't even know that she's the wife and they just think it's this crazy woman trying to push through the crowd and they push her away. Amar lahon, hanichula, shaliva shalachem shalahu. He says, leave her. Because, right, shaliva shalachem, it's what's mine and what's yours is all due to her. There you have that moment of, you know, the wife, she did everything for me. Shama kaba savua, ata vi'ichal al nidre. Okay, he now goes and is shoel on his neder. Okay, here's our thing about the neder. Vishteruye vishtere. Okay, so now it's unclear what these words are, but either you could read it ichal al nidre vishteruye and on his neder and on his ishtere, like his, again, like a neder maybe, and it was removed, or it's ishtaruye v'ishtere, it was repealed for him, and it was repealed for Rabbi Akiva and his daughter. In other words, he was no longer, although it's unclear, it seems a dual lashon for no really good reason. And minshit mile iata Rabbi Akiva. Now we're going to say that Rabbi Akiva got rich from six different ways. Okay, min kalba savua is one, okay, from inheritance. Min ayala disfinata. Okay, he got rich from the ayal of the sfina. What is this? It's called sfinata avdinle min ena. On the sfinot, they put this symbol on, okay, like a sheep or a ram or something like that, usually. And zimnichada anshuye al kefiyama. Atahu eshkeche. What would they do? They would make this symbol, and under it, they would hide the money. Okay? So one time he found this boat that was abandoned, and in it was all this money. Umin gavza. Okay, gavza is either a box or a log. Dizim nechad yav arba'a zuze lisfonai. He gave four zuzim to some guys who needed some money. Amar lehu, I had these sapanim, right, these guys on a boat. Amar lehu, I tele midan. He said, give me something for it, okay? I want, you know, I'll give you these four zuzim, but give me something for it. Below eshkechu ela gavza. The only thing they have is this either log or box,
chest.
Metal box, chest. Ela gavza al kef yama. That was on the, you know, on the water. Atiu hale, they gave it to him. Amrule, Avi marana ale. They said to him, what are the words there? Avi marana?
Make use of this.
Okay. You'll make use of this box. Like, that's all we can give you. Ishtikach, what do you think? Davamale dinare. Okay, it was full of, it was a treasure chest. Okay. Dezim ninchada tavat sfinata. One time this sfina had sunk. B'kule iska habamachik bahu gavza. And everything they put into this one box. B'ishchach bahu zimna. It means... Okay, and those sapanim, those sailors had found it. So some people say it was a big metal box and they thought it was heavy because of the metal. And they didn't realize it was because of the money inside. Or it was a log, and a log is also heavy. They didn't realize it was it had stuff hidden in it. Okay, now we're getting to more things. Dimin srukita, which is from Yishmaelim, which some people say that's the same one as the ayal on the boat, because otherwise we're going to get to seven, and there was only six. Umim matronita. Okay, there was a matronita who gave him money. What was the story there? Because they needed money for the Beit Midrash. They sent Rabbi Akiva to the matronita. I'm just reading in the Ram for a minute. And she borrowed money from him. He borrowed money from her. Ah, right. He borrowed money from this matronita. And he said, God will be my guarantor. And then all of a sudden, like she miraculously got some money, and she said, "Oh, that must be the money from God, and now you don't have to repay me the loan." Uminischo de Tornosrophos. Okay, this is some Roman general. Some people say he was the guy who actually killed Rabbi Akiva. Some people say no, it was before that. And apparently, his wife, again, the guy sent the wife, who was very beautiful, to Rabbi Akiva to seduce him. And Rabbi Akiva didn't get seduced by it, and the wife was so amazed by it that she basically said, well, what can I do? I'm so amazed by this. And he said, you can become a Jew, and he's Migayerota, and then eventually he marries her, according to the legend. Interesting. Umin Ketia Bar Shalom. And that was a guy who left a lot of money to Rabbi Akiva and his students because he liked him. Okay, so we got rich from all these ways. Rav Ganda Yahiv Dalet Zuze L'Sfonai. Here's going to be another story about a guy with the money. He gives four zuzim to a Sfonai. Okay, again, you can see it's obviously like a literary thing, right? They gave four zuzim on it. La'atuyeh b'hom midayim. Lo eshkechu, right? He says, okay, so give me something. They didn't find anything to give him. Atuyeh b'hom kupa. Right? They gave him a box. Ishtamit al-lecharata. What does that mean? Al-lechurta. The chafru batre. Oh, right. Sorry. They gave him a kof. They gave him a monkey. And then the monkey, ishtamit al okay, the ishtamit, the monkey runs away. And as they gave him a monkey, the monkey ran away and starts digging into this hole. Chafru batre. He says, go dig after them, after the monkey, and catch him. Eshkechu adravia al margaliata. Aitina lekulon. Okay, so then they realized that the kof was digging in, and there was a whole huge amount of pearls there. So he got all the pearls. Okay, now we're getting into a little bit of a different genre of stories. This, we also saw this story in Ta'anit. Amrle bat kesar le Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. Do you remember Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya? He was the ugly man. Okay, he was really ugly, but he was this big Talmid Chacham. Torah mefo'ara b'kli mechoar, right? She says, how could it be that Torah is so gorgeous, so glamorous in a disgusting utensil? Amrle limdi mibeit avuch. Go learn from your father's house. Okay, she was this rich woman. Go learn from your right, the batzav of the Kesar. She was this right wealthy. Go learn from your father's house. But memenichim yayin, and what do they put water? Wine. Amrle b'manei de pachra. Okay, in klecheres, right? Pottery, right? Amarla kule ama b'pachra. Everybody puts their things in a klecheres. Va'atun b'manei de pachra atun. B'manei de pachra. You're putting them in the same thing as everybody else. Atun atitun b'manei de kaspa v'dava. Go put them in kelim of gold and zahav, right? Put your wine in your finest kelim. Azlak v'ramat chamer b'manei de kaspa v'dava v'sare. And they get ruined. They get ruined. Amarle af oraita kein. Same thing with Torah. If you put it in a beautiful utensil, it'll get ruined. So then, either she says this or the Gemara says this, I'm not sure. But v'hayika shapirim she asked this. V'hayika shapirim b'gemirim. But wait, there are people who are beautiful and are learned. Do you remember who? Like one famous one? Rabbi Yochanan. Remember Rish Lakish dives into the water because he was so beautiful? Okay. Right, exactly. The women, right. He would sit outside the mikveh and the women would go in and right, look at him and then they'd have beautiful children. So there you have it. Amar la, ihabu sane, havi kamirin tfe. If they would hate their beauty, okay, there's two different interpretations. Some say if they were ugly, they'd be even smarter, which let's say about Rabbi Yochanan, that would be the case. Or some people say, no, sane is to hate, like from sin'ah. It's the samach and the sin switch. if they hate their beauty, like maybe Rabbi Yochanan hated his beauty and didn't, right? And he might have used it for good things, but he certainly didn't use it for bad things, and therefore they'd know more. Hayita ate lekamedu Rabbi Yehuda min Nehardea Ledina. Okay, this woman came before Rabbi Yehuda in Nehardea for the judgment. Vitchavile min Dina. And she was chayav according to the din. Amrale, Shmuel Rabcha, Hachi Danan, would Shmuel, your rabbi, have judged me this way? Okay, she says, very chutzpahdik. Like, you judge me poorly. Would Shmuel, your rabbi, have done this? Amarla, Yadatle, do you know him, Shmuel? Amrale, in, yes, sure, I know him. And now she proceeds to describe Shmuel. Gutza, he's short. Berabba Krese, he's fat, okay, rounded. Ukam, he's dark. Rabba Shine, and his teeth are,
long tooth.
Long, right, he has long teeth. Okay, she describes him like in a disgusting manner. Clearly, she's being disrespectful. Amarle lebezuye ka'atet? Okay, right, like you're coming to embarrass, to talk this way about your rabbis? Tehavi ahi itita b'shamta. Okay, so she should be put in nidoy and paka umeta. Okay, she basically, her stomach explodes and she dies. Okay, the professor explained that she obviously didn't do tshuva. In other words, had she done tshuva, this wouldn't have happened to her, but that's what happens to her. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up from here next time. We'll get to the Beitza Tormita and we'll do till the end of the daf on Tuesday. Okay, so we'll meet up Tuesday. We're not going to meet up tomorrow. What to do with all these stories? I mean, we'll just think about it for 1 minute. You see about the poverty not affecting the Talmidei Chachamim, the beauty not affecting the Talmidei Chachamim, right? They're trying, which is interesting, in this whole Masechet full of Dvarim Chomriim, like you're noder from all sorts of material items, and maybe it's also like going with what Shari's saying about watch what you say and don't waste your time on these petty things, right? Like, keep the bigger perspective and like obviously like Rachel, Kabbalah's daughter, had that bigger perspective about what it's all about, and it's all about Torah, and it's not about getting angry at people and making nidarim about them and telling people they're ugly and being disrespectful to rabbis and the 24 thing is just, it's like the Torah used it when it comes to 3 days, right? It's just literary devices. Like, there's certain numbers that just repeat themselves in stories.
Because it was all being done by
memory. I don't know if it's all memory, it's just a literary device. That you'll just see certain literary devices, and one of them is numbers. There's certain numbers that get used because they're even kind of numbers. They're, it's what? Like seven. Right. Right. Seven's always used. Right. Well, seven has all this other significance of the days of the week, and I don't know that 24 has some special significance like the number seven, let's say, but it's just used in, it comes up b'mikre in a bunch of different stories. I think even later on the page, maybe there's another one, I don't remember, but it comes up a bunch of times, this thing about this, it comes up again. We'll see it tomorrow at the end of the daf. Thought it came up another time. So it's just a literary device, that issue.